On the phone line with us is Chip Flory, fresh off the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us today. Hope you're feeling, well, a little refreshed. I bet you were working numbers all day today.
Oh, yeah. We worked numbers until almost 5 o'clock in the morning. Last night or this morning, went into lockup and stayed at her until we came up with a number that I really feel comfortable with now, that I've had a chance to sit back and take a look at the numbers again. But I tell you what, I'm ready to go home, kiss the wife, maybe have a cold one, and find my easy chair for a while.
Well, before you do that, let's talk about some of those numbers, because they're fresh in your mind. You see a big crop for both corn and soybeans.
You bet we do. I'm just going to sum up the crop tour here just real quick for you. And it's really pretty easy to do. We saw a corn crop that was better than a year ago in Ohio and Indiana. We saw a corn crop in South Dakota and Iowa that won't quite measure up with what we saw a year ago. And then we saw a corn crop in Illinois, South Dakota, and Minnesota that was basically unchanged from last year. The one variable that we've got to take into consideration is the maturity of this year's crop. It was probably the most mature corn crop that we've seen from Ohio to Nebraska and central Minnesota down to southern Illinois in 17 years of doing the tour. The maturity of the crop means that you've got to trust the numbers that the crop tour generates more than you would in a year like 2009 or even 2008 when we looked at a crop that just simply was weeks away from maturity. Now, I'm going to share one crop tour number with you guys that I'm sure that you haven't heard yet, but we take all the samples, and this year is 1,014 corn samples, put it into one spreadsheet and run an average of the yields. And this year it kicked out a 167.3. Now, when you go through Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Nebraska, you better have an average yield that is above USDA's national yield at the end of the year, okay? We're taking a loin cut out of the Midwest. It had better be a big yield. Since 2000, on average, that number has been 5.7 bushels above the USDA final. But in a year when maturity is high, that miss is smaller. So it starts to creep up closer and closer. If you take all 5.7 bushels off that 167.3, you know, all of a sudden you're down into the 161 something. We don't feel like we had to go all. We sure didn't feel like we had to go all the way. And in years like 2004, for example, when we looked at a mature corn crop out there, this final number was off by about 3.5 bushels. So essentially, what we did was cut the historical error on that number in half, and you end up right around 164.1 bushels per acre. Then you start to work backwards and fill in the states to see how the states are going to work toward that 164.1. And I'm not ashamed to tell you guys that we start with the national number and then back off to the states, because that's exactly how USDA does it. And it makes sense. You work with your biggest and most reliable set of data and then work down into the smaller sets of data and those that there's more variability from year to year. So we feel real good about that 164.1 bushels per acre. Do we have all the states exactly right? Gosh, probably not. But I think that we're going to end up being real close this year, because we measured such a mature corn crop at that 164.1. We do allow for a little bit of variability. We released this estimate in a range, and 164.1 is the midpoint of plus or minus 1%. And essentially what we're doing by putting that range on there is telling you that we don't believe that the national average yield is going to get below 162.5, and we sure don't see it getting above 165.7. Okay? Now, on the bean crop, kind of the same story. The only state that we saw a lower pod count in was Ohio. We saw relatively minor pod count increases in Indiana and Nebraska. We saw moderate pod count increases in Illinois and Iowa. And we saw huge pod count increases in South Dakota and Minnesota. The pod counts don't necessarily translate into a big yield because you got to have water out there to make a big bean to support that pod. And, of course, we're not counting the number of beans per pod either, guys. And there's some variability with that out there. So we're trying to make some observations as we go. But we saw enough of a bean crop out there to support this 44.9. We do a plus or minus 2% on the bean yield estimate, and that's simply because the crop is more vulnerable to some late season stresses. And plus, you give it a shot of water now, and it can plump up and get a little bit bigger than what the crop was that we saw. So at 44.9, that's in the middle of a range from 44.0 up to 45.8. So it was a really good corn crop that we looked at, but it was a great bean crop. The exception there, you know, and this is where the risk is, and I hate the fact that the risk is in the biggest bean-producing state, but if that SDS takes a bite out of that Iowa crop, we put Iowa at 50.5 bushels per acre, and if the SDS really kicks in and gets much worse than what it is, we're not going to make 50.5 bushel.
Chip, this is Aaron. Enjoy your comments, obviously, during the week, and I enjoy reading your comments on the tour. I know my customers especially enjoy hearing about other parts of the country we don't get to drive through. I guess a question on your final production numbers we saw this afternoon. I've read that, you know, your tour is just a part of that final number. Can you talk a little bit about that process and also what other factors go into those numbers we saw this afternoon?
You bet. But I will tell you this much, that the tour numbers this year were a bigger part of the pro farmer crop estimate than they typically are. We did not make any adjustments for test weight this year. We did not make any adjustments with the idea that we're going to be harvesting high moisture corn. We didn't even make any adjustments on kernel size. And that's something that we take a pretty close look at most years, and especially this year. The rule of thumb is 90,000 kernels per bushel. You go back to the 95 crop, which is the year that is most comparable to 2010 as far as the nighttime temperatures go and so on. And in 1995, it probably took 105, 106, 110,000 kernels to make a bushel. The experienced scouts and the producers that are out there in the field with us, I asked them at the start of the week to break the ears, take a look at the kernel depth, and if they had any concern at all over the size of the kernel, they had to let me know. And none of them expressed any concern over the size of the kernel. That really surprised me. I expected that we were going to see a kernel size issue this year. I had stories written, guys, talking about the size of the kernels, and now I'm going to throw them away.
Here in Central Illinois, we've had a few fields harvested, and that's one of the things they're talking about is 51, 52-pound test weight.
Really?
On 19% corn right now, yes.
Okay. Interesting. Is that short-season corn?
It's just regular corn that they started with.
Hmm.
Chip, going back to the sudden death, I had a call from a really well-respected Dow Jones Newswire reporter midweek, and one of a very high-ranking Iowa State plant pathologist came out and said, in his mind, in his opinion, we're looking at 150 million bushel loss in just Iowa alone. And that did hit the news wires, but it didn't take any effect, it seemed like to me, because the pod counts that you guys were putting out were really, really up there. And that's not a pro or con, but help me visualize the Iowa crop. How, if that guy can say 150 million off Iowa, surely there's some pretty bad situations of sudden death already. And did you guys factor that in?
Yeah, we did factor it in. One of the things that I convinced the scouts to try to do, And this is because, you know, when you see that field that is heavily infected with SDS, you just want to stare at it when you're driving by it, or if it happens to be your sample stop. If there's a nice green field on one side of the road and a SDS infected field on the other side of the road, but you're at your 12 miles or your 15 miles, whatever it is, when you're going to make your stop, curious minds want to know, and I'm telling you, the scouts that come out here are very curious people, and they're going to go into that SDS field. They're going to take a look at just exactly what that disease is doing to it. Now, when they come walking back out of that field, they might look across the road and say, wow, but look at that one. I was trying to get them to not focus intently on the disease, take note of it, but as soon as you see a bad field, look around. Look around and see what those other fields around it look like. And most of them came back and said, you know what, if we saw a field that was maybe half infected with SDS or 60% or 70%, if you looked across the road, there might have been a spot here and a spot there, but it was essentially 95, 98% good beans on the other side of the road. So, you know, the bean crop in Iowa, like I said, is the swing factor for the bean crop. What is good in Iowa is really good, guys. Really good. And this might be a subject to discuss at some other point, but I think the genetics are finally starting to catch up with this bean crop. You know, they've been lagging what we've done in corn, but it sure feels like and looked like to us that the genetic improvement that we've got on this bean crop is pretty significant this year. You look at the number of pods per node. In the past, you run 3, maybe 4. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you get 5. We were counting 4, 5, and sometimes 6 bean pods per node out there on the trip this week, and that is something that really shocked me. You know, you don't just get 3 or 4, you get a cluster, and that suggests to me that the plant breeders out there have finally stuck some genetics out here that are going to start to pump up this bean yield, and this might be the year that we catch it.
You spent a lot of time, Chip, trying to convince us, or at least it seemed like it convinced us, that these yields were really, really there. Mm-hmm. Are you having to convince anybody?
Who
doesn't believe you?
Sure. You know what? I've had a couple of people that were on tour, you know, by the time we were done, I was done with the conversation with him. He says, you know what? You're probably right, because it felt like I drew the short straw every day of the tour this year. And sometimes that happens to a guy. They get on there and they see the worst yields of the day on their route every day. And when you run into a guy like that, sometimes you got to do a little bit of hand holding and explain to him, just look at the numbers, look at the numbers. And I'm going to take you guys back to that 167.3. That was the average yield of all 1,014 corn samples this year. Last year is 169.2. Okay, so we need to back off a little bit from that. But think about it: 169.2 last year on a very immature crop. On a very immature crop, ended up being a 164.7 because somehow, some way, that crop made it to the finish line. Now, I'll still argue that it didn't, but but somehow, some way, it ended up at 164.7. The maturity of this crop, you got to trust it. You got to trust that what you see out there in the field is there. Now, the test weight comment that you were making is interesting to me. Is interesting to me. Now, the test weight, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the variables that is in play when we put that 1% plus or minus on it. And at 162.5, on the downside, at the bottom end of our yield range, I would guess that the 162.5 would catch most of the test weight issues that might be out there.
Chip, on 08, do you have the 08 numbers? as far as your corn samples?
How many samples we pulled?
Yeah, and what that yield was at that point.
You know what? I don't have them in front of me. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry about it, because that was the year we went down to 153.9. I just wanted to see where you're at that point.
Well, in 2008, now this I have in front of me. In 2008, we estimated the crop in the, you know, in the third week of August at 12.152 billion bushels. 12.152 billion bushels, and it ended up at 12.101 billion bushels. So we were 51 million bushels too high on that corn crop. That was off. We were off by 0.42%.
Chip, let's move back to Iowa real quick. We've seen Iowa get some pretty excessive rains here the last couple of weeks. How did that factor into what you saw, and how did it factor into what you saw for an Iowa corn yield?
Yeah, on Wednesday I took just a half-day break from tour, and I busted from Nebraska City to Ames, Iowa, to move my freshman daughter into the dorms at Iowa State, and then I left there and I made my way up to Spencer for the meeting that night and managed to pull a few samples by myself on the way up to Spencer. But I drove right up 35 is the moral of the story here, and conditions are terrible. It's just horrible there along 35 in the central part of the state, yeah, we took that into consideration. We talked about it. You've got to talk about the potential that of damage from getting more precipitation since January 1 than we had in 1993, for goodness sakes. The difference this year is that the flooding is not as widespread. Where it is, it's very concentrated and it's very severe. It's taking out the acres in there, and for those farmers that are impacted by it, it's absolutely devastating. Is it going to have a major impact on what we produce in the state? Probably not.
Does it get worked into the calculation at all?
It does by way of crop scouts stopping in some of those flooded areas. Okay,
and pulling ears then.
Well, if there were ears to pull,
they
pulled those. Yeah, there was 1-0 out of crop district 5 in Iowa this year.
I've got several guys in Iowa that are clients that said they'll have the best yield ever,
yeah.
And they're within 5 miles of the flooding,
right.
But they're not in it because it's not as widespread as you said, and they said that it is concentrated, like you said.
Yeah. So we got to pay attention to it, and believe me, when the Iowa numbers came in, I went straight to crop district 5 to... I was hoping to see at least 1-0,
mm-hmm.
Hoping to see at least 1-0 so that we could say, yep, okay, the flood is in there. The flood is having an impact.
While you were out, and I suspect you did you talk much about demand?
Oh, every night.
And?
It's, at 165 bushel per acre that USDA estimated, we're still roughly 200 million bushels too short of keeping up with demand that they estimated in the August supply and demand report. And since then, which was, I'll remind you guys, it was last week, but since then, we got to jack those demand numbers up. We're in the middle of a demand surge right now and just trying to figure out how big the demand is going to be. I made an interesting interesting comment last night in our wrap-up meeting when we were talking about SDS. It kind of hit me. The bean crop can handle a little, or I shouldn't say the bean crop. I should say the bean market can handle a little SDS in Iowa, or a chunk of SDS in Iowa, and that is because we got plenty of supply, and a little bit of some disease pressure might help fix that problem just a little bit. Now, corn, it's just the opposite. We absolutely cannot, we can't lose a bushel. I went out on the crop tour this year hoping to find yield potential better than that 165, because I love a demand market. I love a demand pull market. And it thrills me every year when we go out there on this crop tour to see that with demand growing as much as it is, the genetics are responding, the farmers are responding with better management, we're responding with acreage in the right places, we're doing everything right to keep up and put enough corn into this market to keep up with surging demand. It just thrills me to go out and do that, and I was hoping that I was going to find some yield potential above that 165 bushels per acre, and I was pretty disappointed in Iowa. Oh, yeah, Iowa. The other impact of all that rain showed up in the grain length, okay? And I'm not going to say that it was just too much rain or it was the soggy conditions are bringing on some diseases or the hot temperatures had an impact. It's a cumulative result of all of those things that shortened up the grain length on the ear this year. And I'm not, it's not all in tip back. We saw some ears, quite a few of the samples, the ears were filled all the way to the tip. It's just that they never developed the size that the ears did a year ago. So our grain length was down about 7% from last year. Our Iowa yield estimate was down 6.4% from last year. So it's real easy to tell where the impact, why we ended up with a lower yield in Iowa. It's because of the grain length. And you think about it, good gosh, if we could have just got another quarter inch on average per ear, it would make a world of difference. I'm a little concerned going forward that we're going to get into a rationing process, and I sure don't like what that means for our cattle and hog and dairy and chicken guys out there. And we need a healthy we need a healthy animal agriculture industry to keep this crop industry happy too. And I'm a little concerned that after a rough year, we might be heading back into something rough on the supply side, on the input supply side, the feed supply side.
Chip, thanks so much for being with us.
You bet, Todd. Thank you.
Chip Flory is fresh off the Pro Farmer Tour. If you're listening to us on